If you are a guest here or you have not been here in a couple weeks, we are in week three of a series entitled Acceptable or Even Respectable Sins, things that have become acceptable very much in today's world, and unfortunately, almost, if we're not careful, even for believers. And kind of the recap of this is, if you will remember back 2 weeks ago, we talked about materialism, but the bedrock for the very series itself is the fact that unrighteousness is living in sin, rebellion to God. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ's gift of forgiveness and redemption to God, you are living in sin. Even as Christians, if we're not careful, we can choose to live in sin, which means we're out of fellowship with the Father. But the more that in God, the Bible says God will judge that. The Bible also says God will judge ungodliness, which this is very, very important for Christians, that we have to be very careful. Our natural bent is towards self and sin. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves living in ungodliness, which is just living without thought of God's will or God's glory or of our dependence on Him. And ungodliness, especially for Christians, is the foundation of all acceptable sins. Last week we talked about, if we can go to the next slide, that we need to stop worrying about everybody else and focus on ourselves. Because guess what? It's very easy for me to see your faults or look at your sin or look at someone else or the world and say, at least I'm not them. And instead of doing what God wants, which is us worrying about us, that we're going to have to stand before Him and living His love in our lives, that we just look at and focus on everybody else. And that's not healthy. Okay? And as Christians, it's the same as true for our fellow believers in the world. We need to find the center point, the focus of what we can agree upon, which is Jesus, and not that we have differences maybe in some beliefs, and understand that God's word is always right and true. And so today is a huge one. Today we're going to talk about one of the most radical teaching, I think the most radical teaching in all of the Bible and all that Jesus told us to do, and the one that if we would really follow it would turn our world upside down for Christ. We'll get there in a moment. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Three translations. Today we're going to talk about retaliating. Retaliationism, which I made the word up, but it's good. The Bible tells us if you can't control your temper, your anger labels you a fool. Don't be quickly provoked, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Don't hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. You know, the Bible says if you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. So the word fool is very serious. If you're quick to anger, quick to smart off, quick to get mad, quick to get offended, you got some problems. Because as believers, this should not be. We're told to love and to forgive as Christ forgave. This we must do. If we don't show grace to others, we ourselves won't get grace. The number one thing as believers we should be known for is not necessarily, even though these are good, how good we are, how much we come to church. It should be how we love, how we treat, how we talk, how we act and react. Listen to this. Especially when we have every right to be mad, or to be offended, or to hold a grudge. That's what sets us apart. But retaliating and retaliationism and being offended has just become acceptable. The Apostle Paul called himself a chief sinner. Let me tell you that I believe in this area we are. Because you, oftentimes as believers, and me, when someone gets mad, or when someone's mean to us, or is mean to our kid or a loved one, we get done dirty, whatever it might be. We think we have a right to react and be offended and be angry. And Jesus says, no, you don't. I was a chief sinner in this area in my old life as the old man before I knew the Lord. I'll tell some stories. I used to like to get even. Now, I don't know, you guys just know me as Pastor Micah or Micah, whatever. But in my old life, let me tell you, there was no one who liked to fight and get even and smart off and talk about and rile people up more than this guy. I could tell so many stories that I'd better not tell. Even as a young man, I think of one time in high school, there was someone, and he had said something I didn't like, and where we grew up, we used to be able to go out to lunch. It was an open campus, so I remember one day, I knew he was going to be in Subway for lunch, and I went in Subway and waited on him, and as soon as he got there, I called him a name and shoved him over a table, and you know, just, it felt so good to get even. One time, a buddy of mine, we were playing basketball, and we got into it. He threw the ball at me without even thinking. I hit him right in the nose. Blood everywhere. It was horrible, but it felt so good to get even. We grew up, and I think if Keith is here this morning, in a country school. So kindergarten through sixth grade, we went to a country school. And what happened was, we then went to Mount Carmel, which is the bigger town around where we grew up, for seventh and eighth grade. And so going to seventh grade was like going to high school. It was a big deal socially. Well, right at the time that I was going into seventh grade, my mom left the house and went back to work as a teacher to the school where I was going. Now, socially, as a seventh grader, that was awful. You know, and so the deal was, there was always those group of kids, and you know, they like to make fun of and say things about your mother because she was a teacher. Well, I fought every one of them. Felt good. I wanted to shut them up. I was never a bully, but I'll tell you, I didn't like bullies, and I always wanted to fight the bullies. Just to get them, just to show them, just to make them get even. I'm just making a point that it's human nature to want to get even. It's human nature to want justice. Look at the movies we watch. In the bad guy, in the end, the bad guy always gets theirs, right? At the end of Avengers, Ultron gets defeated. I'm sorry if you haven't seen it, I just gave it away for you. But you know, in Star Trek, Khan gets blown up. You know, the Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, they always kill the bad guys. Now, justice is okay. But what we're going to talk about today is personal retaliation, about getting even, about wishing bad upon people, about thinking bad things, being offended all the time. You know, the Bible warns us against taking delight when our enemy falls, whether they deserve it or not. We're actually warned against that. Holding grudges is not okay for believers. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Exodus 21, an eye for an eye? And let's see, it says here, a tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Yeah. Couple things about that. That's in the Old Testament, which Jesus fulfilled that law when he came and put us under grace, which he gave us by his blood on the cross. And number two, that's referring to national law. That's not referring to necessarily individuals. Romans 13:4 kind of says the same thing. In Romans 13:4, it says right here, it says that he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. And that's referring to the government. Justice on a national level, justice in our society is okay, but as Christians, when it comes to retaliating and getting even, etc., that is something that we are just not allowed. Let me give you an example. The 19th century, have you guys ever heard of the Hatfields and the McCoys? Everybody's heard of them. They made a TV show, The Hatfield. It's a reference point that we use for vengeance, for getting evil. The entire dispute that lasted decades and caused massive amounts of death and heartache and grief to their families and to their entire community was started and was about a hog. The whole thing was over a hog. The two men who started it were responsible themselves for at least 24 deaths. Vengeance, guys, is a sin. It's an offense to God. And no matter how right we think we are, it always ends up badly. Getting even, retaliating, being offended, reacting, popping off. As Christians, we don't get to do it. Retaliating is bad. But there's a humorous side to it as well. Two things are going to happen in today's service you'll never hear again. I'm going to use an Asian accent, and I'm going to quote Garth Brooks. Okay? So here we go with number one. You've heard of the story of the battalion back in one of the wars, and they hired a young Asian boy to do all of their cooking, and they thought it would be so fun to relieve stress, etc., to be mean to him. So they were always putting Vaseline on doorknobs and on the oven knobs, and they were nailing his shoes to the floor. They were putting the saran wrap over the toilet seat, all that kind of stuff, and he just took it. He never complained. And so as time went on, the soldiers, I think it probably just got old, but they decided that they felt bad, so they set him down. He didn't speak much English, and they said, "We're not going to mess with you anymore. We've been doing all these things, and we're so sorry." And he looked up at them, the Asian dad. He said, "No more sticky on stove knob? You know, no more toilet seat?" And they're like, "No, we're not going to do any of that anymore at all." And he looked up and said, "Good, okay, no more spit in soup." So bad. Can we just not even put that on the website? That's horrible. There are lots of ways to get even in life, okay? And I'm going to list a few here this morning, which honestly I kind of hesitate to list because it might give you some ideas. but let's go over a couple real quick. There's physical retaliation, okay? Now, everybody knows this. You punch someone in the face, right? Do you know that's just in our human nature? Now, as we get older and more mature, I wouldn't punch somebody, but I'll talk about them. I'll post about them. I'll hate them. I'll think bad about them. But physical retaliation, look at toddlers. Look at little kids. You don't have to teach them this. When my 9 and 5-year-old fight and one hits the other one just hits him back. And they're not bad kids. It's debatable, I guess, but they just know to punch one another. And I even have one child who I won't tell on specifically because I have to ride in the car with them for a while today, but is very passive-aggressive. They'll hide something or they'll walk by and they'll kick them and think nobody looks and just physical retaliation every time that they fight. That's like as adults, road rage. You know, we just, that anger, we want to physically hurt someone. What about verbal retaliation? This is the worst. The snide comment to the spouse, the cursing, the yelling, the making fun of, talking behind their back, thinking bad thoughts about them, not talking to them. Someone's been mean to you and you snub them when you see them at church or the grocery store or school. I'll show them. I won't talk to them or smile or say hi. I won't like their Facebook post. All this silly stuff, which is kind of funny, but it's not. The starting rumors, the being mean. I so often see adults and even Christians, churchgoers, acting like toddlers, and it's pitiful. It's pitiful for us as believers to act that way. What about legal? The Bible tells us, did you know this, that as Christians, we have no right to ever sue another believer, to go to court, that we should be able to handle it as believers with each other, with pastors or elders or leaders, as fellow believers, that shouldn't happen. The Bible tells us we as believers should have a better value system than the world, if at all possible. Even if you know your right would win, you feel justified that as believers we should be different. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Romans chapter 12 for our text. This is, I believe, the most radical teaching in all of Scripture. That if we would truly follow this, it would turn our world upside down. People would look at us as believers like should be the case, led by the Spirit, humble, meek, graceful, willing to overlook almost anything. If we would just follow this teaching, it would change our world. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. But they said, but they did, but I feel... It doesn't matter. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. Be of the same mind towards each other. Don't set your mind on high things. Associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. We talked about that last week. Don't repay evil for evil. Even if they did, said, as believers, no. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as you can, live peaceably with everybody. Don't avenge yourselves. Avenge, that's like having someone murdered or whacked, like the mafia. No, avenging is what we feel, what we say, how we react. Don't do it. Don't avenge yourselves. Let God take care of it. I will repay, says the Lord. If someone's hungry, if it's your enemy, feed him. If it's thirsty, give him a drink. If someone's awful to you, be good to them. It will disarm them. It will break them down. It will change their life. It will change our world. If they're bad to you, Christian, you be good to them. Don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Radical teaching. Jesus overcame evil by willfully going to the cross. Can we forgive and give grace and overlook and sometimes just keep our mouths closed? Three quick remedies from our text today. Remedy number one, bless those who blast you. And this is based on verse 14. Bless those who blast you. It's our natural tendency to react, to get even, to act in kind. Someone yells at us, we yell back. Someone raises our voice to us, we yell louder. They insult, we come back. We've got to have something. We've got to get even. It makes us, we think, feel better. This is our human nature, and I will tell a story on my wife who doesn't know I'm telling this, but it's so good. This is our human nature, okay? We were at Anthem at the dealership the other day, and we're in the waiting area, right? And we're sitting there, and we're kind of by each other, and there's a man sitting behind us. Well, my wife was sitting there all relaxed in her T-shirt. She normal t-shirt. It wasn't a crop top. She had a t-shirt on, and it rose up about 3 or 4 inches on her belly. And so my thought is, I kind of think her belly looks okay. You know, it's my wife. I didn't want the guy seeing it, so I look over at her, and nonverbally, I'm like this. And she looks down, and the first thing she does, she looks over at me and was like, "Yeah, big boy." She didn't know her shirt had ridden up. She just reacted. "Oh, yeah? Well, look at you there, hoss." She later apologized when we got out of there and I was able to explain what I was doing. "Oh, I'm sorry." But see how her reaction, even my Christian, loving, wonderful wife, was just to react? Seriously. Oh, my goodness. Yep, that happened. 1 Peter 3:9, we're told to not return evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that we'll receive a blessing from God if we do what we're called to do, which is not return evil for evil. Radical teaching. The greatest example in the history of mankind of this, Jesus on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Think about Stephen when he was stoned, being beaten in the head with rocks, stoned to death. His last words on earth were a prayer. It was, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Wow. Stephen wasn't Jesus. He was just like you and I, a follower of Jesus. As they're stoning him to death for no reason, "Father, don't hold this sin against them." Yet we've got to post and pop off and react. And when we find that being the case, we need to look in the mirror. When people are constantly driving you crazy, because I know people, I'm around people, I am a person, I know how people can be. When people are constantly getting you to react and get angry and have feuds and drama, as a believer, stop looking at the people and look in the mirror. I told you this was tough. I've got to look in the mirror sometimes. It's hard. It's hard. Believers, we've got to start showing greater spiritual maturity. Think about this. You and I aren't supposed to be reacting like the natural man or woman. We're supposed to be different, filled with the Holy Spirit, loving and kind. We're supposed to react differently. Bless those who blast you. Number two, seek harmony through humility. It's based on verse 16. Seek harmony through humility. We should be humble. Live in harmony. In this passage, the live in harmony, to be humble, is followed by some admonitions here. It's followed by some admonitions that tell us, don't set your mind on high things. Associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Don't repay evil for evil, and on and on. Don't be conceited. Humility promotes harmony. When you and I will remember consistently that we are nothing and that He is everything, and that we're supposed to decrease and He's supposed to increase, and that He won't share His glory and we're not supposed to want any of it. What we should want is for God to be glorified by how He is reflected in our lives, by how we treat people, by how we're kind and loving, and we give them grace that they don't deserve, because we didn't deserve grace either, but He gives it to us. Seek harmony through humility. If you find yourself characteristically and frequently having drama and not getting along, if you're a believer, you have got to look in the mirror. We don't get a right to act how we want to based on how others act, treat us, or our loved ones. We have a right and an obligation, and we'll answer for how we act based on God's Word. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Very important. Humility paves the way for peace in all of our relationships. Associating with the low means that those who have been flattened by life, we spend time with them, we serve them, we care about them. Because oftentimes life flattens people because of their choices, and oftentimes you don't know what they've been through or are going through. You just don't know. Your job is just to love them. Bless those who blast you. Seek harmony through humility. And our third one, radical teaching. Radical. Resist repaying wrongs. If believers would just do this, it's a biblical command. that goes against our human nature. We're not supposed to be living in the flesh. We're supposed to be living in the spirit and be different. Resist repaying wrongs. This reminds me of the story of the four-year-old Jack who was in the room with his two-year-old sister. The mother was in another room and hears the kids playing. And next thing you know, she hears Jack screaming bloody murder. Comes in there and his little sister has a fistful of Jack's hair. And Jack's, you know, like, oh, she finally gets the little girl to let go. And mom says, now, Jack, don't be mad at your sister. She just didn't know how bad that would hurt, honey. So please don't be mad. Mom leaves the room. She's not even halfway down the hall. She hears the little girl just screaming. Comes back in the room. There's Jack with a big fistful of her hair. Now she knows, Mom. It's our human nature to want to get even, to want to see people get theirs. It's the human condition. Jack wanted his little sister to hurt because he hurt. It makes us feel better when others hurt if we're hurt. But oh, church, that we would just be like our Lord. We would see things and people differently. That we would give grace. That we would see the mean and the people we look at as mean and ugly and hateful for what they really are, which is miserable and without Christ in their hearts and lives. And that we would realize the only way for them to get there is not going to be when we react and get even and do all of those things. It's when we are different and we love them and are good to them and give them kind words and things and thoughts, whether they deserve it or not. That we resist repaying the wrongs. If you and I as believers would follow the teaching to repay evil with good, it would change our world. Stop reacting. Stop being unkind. Stop shutting people out of your lives passively, aggressively, who were mean to you or your little sweetie. Just stop it and be kind to them. We all know how people can be, but we're commanded to be different. For the love of your Lord, believer, don't fight that fight. For the love of your Lord, don't fight it. You and I are called to make disciples with our lives. Is your life making disciples? This is a surefire way for it to be fruitful, is to be kind and good to everyone, especially those who are not kind or good to you. Jesus didn't say it was easy. He said he's worth it. Do you want others to hurt? You know, hurt is the motive behind terrorism and mass murders and school shootings and horrible things. Hurt people. 1 Thessalonians says, don't pay back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everybody. Be good to everybody. We, as believers, listen to me. You shouldn't be the complainer. You shouldn't be the I'm going to the school board type. You shouldn't be the I'm going to write the company type. You shouldn't be the I'm going to go to the manager. Can I speak to the manager? I'm going to sue. You, believer, when you go from church and you go eat lunch and you have decent clothes on and those people look at you and know you've been in church, you might be the Jesus they ever see. They're looking at you thinking about Christ. You're reflecting Him. And let me tell you something, when your medium well comes medium, you'll be all right. Eat it. If your tea glass is empty for 3 minutes, you will survive. And if you can afford to go out to eat, you can afford to be a generous tipper. Little things and beginning, what we say about ungodliness is when we don't think about how we reflect and glorify God with our lives. You should be thinking consciously about these things in your day-to-day life. I'm a believer, and how I look and act and treat people is a direct reflection of Jesus. Even the hateful, cruddy people that act that way, especially love them. This will turn the world upside down. This is radical stuff that God commands us to do. Bruce Getz offers three reasons why we should never repay hurt with hurt. Because number one, retaliation always causes the conflict to escalate. Let me use a very crude example, but I think that it might be applicable. Let's just say you're the President of the United States and you have the launch codes and someone bombs New York City. You have the option of retaliating and bombing them back, which will escalate to the point to where by the time you're all done, the world will be over. There'll be so many bombs, everybody will be dead. Now, your other option would have been you don't retaliate and you've lost a city, but everyone else under your authority in your country will still be alive at least. Retaliation just causes stuff to escalate. When we always have to get even, make it right, we think we're judge and jury, it always just escalates. Retaliation is also usually excessive. just is. And we also have no right to do it. And the third point he makes, which is the most tragic, is that retaliation ruins our witness. Whatever other part of your life you might think is right, if you have to pop off, get even, treat them bad, cut them out, leave your church, do whatever because you got offended, your witness is crushed. Proverbs says this. God tells us, don't worry about getting even. Just let God take care of it. If you trust God, then do what He says and be kind to those people. And like I said, first and last time you'll ever hear me quote the great American poet Garth Brooks. There's Garth. He has a song where he says that we bury the hatchet but leave the handle sticking out. We're always bringing up things we ought to forget about. We bury the hatchet, but we leave the handle still. We're always bringing up things we ought to forget about. Sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 13 that says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Are there some wrongs or some things today that you really need to let go of? And I mean, be real. This is very important for the kingdom, for your witness, for your life and soul, for your happiness. Some things you need to forgive someone of or just let go of today. And be honest, how's your attitude, believer? How's your attitude with people? We should be like David. He spared Saul's life at least twice. Here Saul had ran David away, was chasing David, trying to kill David. Would you not, if you were King David or David at the time, just have killed Saul? Because you know what? He had every right to do it. It would have been a quicker way to the throne. Saul was after him. But David's response to Saul, and I will paraphrase, should be our response with everyone else in our lives. It's not my job to kill you or judge you or have vengeance on you or worry about you. It's my job to be like God wants me to be, which is merciful. And so David was merciful, went on to be king. Jesus was able to come. We're here today. Saul, of course, was killed and dead and gone. David said, it's not my job to do what I would like to do to you, Saul. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to show you mercy, which is what God tells me to do. What does Jesus tell us? Jesus tells us if someone sues you, imagine someone burned down your house. Imagine someone was really horrible to your wife or child, or someone stole money from you, or someone did something really awful and you ended up in court. Jesus says he uses an example of just a shirt. If they want your shirt, give him your coat too. That's the attitude, church, that we should have. That's being a believer. That's being a Christian. That's being a follower of Jesus, is being that merciful to others. If someone demands that you carry his stuff for a mile, say, I'll take it 2 miles. Because God was good to me. God was graceful to me. I better be graceful, and you better be graceful to others. We should be like that. We should be Jesus to all that we can be while we've still got breath in our lungs. If you want to see the Lord work, if we'll start acting like this, be kind to everyone, no matter what. There's a true story of a young man who went away to college, and he was a believer, and he had a roommate who wasn't. And he would always, every night, kneel down by his bed and pray. And every night, people would come in and out of the hallways in his dorm and make fun of him. His roommate would make fun of him. One night, the roommate had had enough. He was down on his knees saying his prayers. The roommate took his boot off, threw it at him, and hit him right in the head. Now, I know at that age in my life, when I was in college, if my roommate would have hit me with a boot, I know what would have happened. And it's not something I'll talk about in church. He didn't do anything. He didn't react. Matter of fact, he just continued his prayers. Before he went to bed, the roommate already was. He took his boots and he polished them and he cleaned them and he put them underneath the roommate's bed. The roommate woke up in the morning. It was so disarmed, he never gave him any more grief about praying. They became friends, and that roommate eventually gave his heart and life to Christ. Because you hear that story and think, I know what I'd have done to him too. But the Bible says our natural reaction as believers should be to bless that person, to be kind to them, to overlook it. And when that's not our natural reaction, it's a sign we need to be closer to the Father and plugged into the vine a little better. Our witness, our overlooking, our being graceful will make all the difference in the world. Another story, I don't have all the details. You guys know who Nelson Mandela was. You know what happened a lot of in South Africa with apartheid. This is certainly a very true story. He was seeking reconciliation, and so he offered that any officer who had committed atrocities during the genocide or any of this would come in, and if they faced their accuser, they would be pardoned. And there's the true story of a little old woman who came into court one day to face her accuser who was on the stand. This soldier had murdered her only son and her husband. When she asked, "What do you want to do or see happen?" she looked it up at him and said, "Although I have no family left, I still have a lot of love to give." So she requested that the young soldier allow her to come and visit him frequently so she could tell him about her forgiveness and the source of it. And then she went further and got out and began to hobble to the witness stand and say, "Actually, I'd like one more thing. I'd like to be allowed to hug him right now so he can feel that my forgiveness is real." This strapping man, who the former soldier, fainted on the spot. She disarmed him with kindness and with love. And when we hear stories like that, but you and I so often as believers, we can't overlook the stupidest of things. And even when the stuff is more legitimate, it doesn't matter. We should be kind anyway. We should forgive and overlook anyway. She didn't yell or scream or curse or want to get even. She forgave him, and the purifying fire of God's love and of a God-given love led to reconciliation. She was not overcome by evil. Would you just bow your heads as you're at your seats today? Some of us here today need some forgiveness, or to forgive someone, to let something go, or just to pray about our very demeanor, spirit, heart, and how we treat and act and react. God is telling us to overcome evil with good and to let things go. There are some of you here today that are holding on to things that aren't worth holding on to. You as the believer have to be the light to step forward, whether it's been 20 years ago, and say, "I forgive you, I'm sorry." Chances are they were probably wrong, maybe they still are, but you were commanded by your Lord and Savior to obey and to overcome that evil with good. In just one moment, we're going to have a worship song played. I want you to just worship and sing along about the Lord and His greatness. But maybe your act of worship is singing. Maybe yours is coming and praying. Whatever it is, as we prepare to have a couple of baptisms, I want you to stand, if you would, this morning. Everyone stand, please. As we worship one more time, the altar's open for you to come and pray, because you might need to let something go or to forgive someone. Overcome evil with good. Just as He, your Savior, your Lord, said, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." That's how you and I ought to treat others. And when we will do that, when we will be the bigger person, when we will forgive whether it's deserved or not, and be kind whether it's deserved or not, we'll change the world and we'll see people come to the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You in Jesus' name, Lord, for these individuals to be baptized into Your death and life and into eternal life today. And now as we worship and sing, Heavenly Father, would You move in our hearts that forgiveness is granted here today. In Jesus' name, amen.